Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got the band back together. We're here to have some fun over the next hour. We're going to get into some entertainment news, kick things off, talk about some great local things we have going on, and we'll wrap up the hour talking local events. We also got some other fun ones like the top trending pet names for 2024. Terry and I will dive into that one. And the percentage of us that believe we are a bad driver. That one is interesting.
Do you admit that?
Yeah, would you admit that? That's a great question, yeah. But wanted to, just a couple of quick entertainment notes wanted to touch on really quick. Jamie Foxx has been going through some real health issues lately and has been very upfront about them. There's a great CNN article that they did on this where he revealed that he suffered a brain bleed and a stroke and says he doesn't remember the last 20 days.
Huh.
Wishing him well.
Yeah.
Certainly he's a great actor and all that, but I did want to note that he does seem to be on the mend, although I'm not sure how much work he's doing for a while. He's going to be recuperating for quite some time and wish him well. I just was actually, it oddly enough, came up a while ago with some students. We had a sketch that we were doing and somehow came across greatest performances of real people, you know?
Sure.
And Jamie Foxx's performance of Ray Charles came up right away. And just one of those top 20, top 30 performances of real people playing real people kind of jobs. Great actor. We mentioned this yesterday on the show. Dolly Parton is searching for someone to play her on Broadway. And the story is developing more and more where she's doing her own search.
Yeah, because I struggle with that when you say that.
The thing about this is the studios usually not only do they have most power when it comes to this, but they don't necessarily. If they let something, quote unquote, slip or something leak, they purposely did that. It's very, 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 very rare in life for something to, quote, leak for an unintentional. It's usually some intent behind it. And then there's Dolly Parton, who is going to do her thing. And if you, they've been trying for decades to get a bio on her made. And she's kind of pushed back on it. And some of it is also just a lot of the way Dolly is. She doesn't necessarily think that, why me? Why do a biopic on me or something like that? But at this point, she's kind of come around to the idea. However, she is very, very steadfast in it should be an unknown. And I could not agree with that more. Now, I love seeing a Jamie Foxx play Ray Charles. I love seeing the great actors playing these roles. Thursday's show, Seth and I are going to talk a little bit about Timothy Chalamet playing Bob Dylan and some of the work that he did to play that character and everything. But there's certain people, as big as Bob Dylan is, as famous as he is and all that, Bob Dylan does not have anywhere even close to the aura or the image or any of these things of a Dolly Parton. And so for Timothy Chalamet, one of the most famous actors in the world, to play one of the most famous people ever in Bob Dylan, that adds up. That makes sense. I can see that. And you look at the trailers and the young man blows you away. But name me, call up 715-424-2600 and give me a bona fide actor that has a career right now that you think could play Dolly Parton. Because I will say Reese Witherspoon already did this, and she's as close as I can get, and even that is a stretch. And that's not against – this has nothing to do with the actors we're talking about. Angelina Jolie is one of the best actors I've ever seen. She couldn't play Dolly. You know, it has nothing to do with the talent. It's being able to match that and being able to make the look. Reese Witherspoon just looked and sounded so much like June Carter and was amazing. It's one of the better performances I've ever seen. I love June Carter. I came into that movie very hesitant. I came out of it having immense respect for Reese Witherspoon. There are actors that are bona fide that could do it. I can't think of a one.
See, and for me, Dolly Parton is still too active and out there and in the media and doing things yet to have somebody else playing her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just struggle with that. So I get her approach of, I will choose who it is, and, you know, and make this, I don't know. To me, it would just be different. Like, if she was whatever, maybe older, maybe already passed. I'm not saying you have to wait to, like, do it to memorialize people. Yeah. But to me, she's just still so out there and active. So to have somebody else,
it's odd
playing her. For me, it's odd.
It's a little bit like they're like a lot of things in life. The entertainment industry is a parody industry, and when you see people like documentaries, and these aren't that expensive to make, so we're going to make a bunch of documentaries. But the problem is, most documentaries, in order for it to be good, you got to wait a year or two. You got to wait, if not longer than that. But they want stuff now. And we got to do current stories. So they're doing biographies on things that have happened in the last year. And it's like, well, you can't do a true doc on that.
Yeah.
Not only are people still alive, and there's a lot of other factors to that. So something like this, I hear you. It's a little bit awkward to have the person actually still alive, maybe not still. Being alive is one thing, but irrelevant.
She's still active and out there.
It's a good way to
put
it.
I don't know. For me, it's just, like, weird. Like, don't jump the gun.
One thing I will say, though, is cool to see her taking such initiative of this and see so many people, like, jumping on this and wanting to do it.
And that's hope that that's what it is. I hope it's not where she kind of feels like her back's up against the wall. Like, if I don't, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to do it regardless.
Right.
So if I want it to be how I want it to be, you know, I have to get on board. I hope that it's that she's, really supportive of it happening.
Yeah. And I hope she's getting, I would think that she's definitely going to get the support from the studio, because they're going to do what it takes to please her, because if she says no, this ain't getting done.
Yeah.
So I think that there might be, it could be really cool to see what happens with this.
For sure.
We'll see. But I'm very on the fence of it, just because we have the standard of her and everything. The Golden Globe nominees for 2025 were announced. We are going to go through the whole... No, we're not going to go through the whole list. But just a couple of quick categories.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah, a couple of quick categories. And for best document... Best Drama, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Nickel Boys, and September 5th.
I didn't see any.
I was going to say, I don't think most people saw hardly any of those. Best Actress in a Drama, Pamela Anderson for The Last Showgirl. That's odd, but great for her. That's cool to see. Angelina Jolie for Maria, Nicole Kidman for Baby Girl, Tilda Swinton for The Room Next Door, Kate Winslet for Lee.
Also, none.
Yeah. You know the actors, but I don't think a lot of people know these movies.
No.
Best Actor in a Drama, Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, Daniel Craig for Queer, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice.
And none.
Best Actress, Amy Adams in Nightward, Cynthia Erivo in Wicked, Kathy Sophia Gostin and Emily Perez, Mickey Madison and Nora, Demi Moore in Substance, and Zendaya in Challengers. And why I'm mentioning all these is in part because I got to mention some actors that you may not know are still working and that are incredibly good. Nicole Kidman, Angelina Jolie,
Pamela Anderson,
Ralph Fiennes.
You call her an actor?
Yes. Demi Moore. Demi Moore's performance in The Substance is getting a lot of reviews, getting a lot of rave. That's a little bit more of a tense suspense movie, though. I don't think a lot of people are too... that's for everybody, but her performance is apparently really cool. And Glenn Powell got nominated for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for his work in Hitman. What? How is that a Best Musical or Comedy? I don't know. But the awards are out. If you're curious, you can go ahead and go to the Emmys website.
You know, since we're talking movies,
Golden Globes website, sorry.
Since we're talking movies, I went to the Best Christmas Pageant Ever.
Oh, okay.
It is fabulous. Mm-hmm. So if you're completely family friendly, tugs at your heartstrings. I mean, it is fabulous. So if you're just looking for a feel good, this is based on it was a book written in the 70s. It is sweet and cute and, I don't know, encompasses the Christmas spirit. So it's just, you know, I'm not really into a lot of those action kind of movies, it was fabulous.
Cool. Oh, very cool. I love finding new holiday movies to get into or to add to watch. I will watch the classics. I love the classics. It's nice to have something new in there.
Yeah.
It's nice
and I was laughing because the line was a bajillion miles long for Wicked. And then we get up to, you know, and I'm like, best Christmas pageant ever. And, you know, the kid's like, okay, lady, you know.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we were the only two people in there.
I mean,
but it was fabulous. fabulous. Like, I would totally go back.
It's honestly one of my favorite things in entertainment, to go to a movie and it's just you and one other person or whatever. I love that.
Like, you feel like you're getting away with something, talking out loud.
Yes, yeah. The Golden Globes will be next month. We'll talk more about them. We get a little bit closer to them, but they will be on CBS and Paramount Plus. Got a couple of cool things I wanted to mention really quick. Be sure to join us today for our lineup. We've got a great show lined up for you that it is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that's Community Stories with Melissa Kay. From 5 to 6, join us for this one. Mel's got a great lineup for you today, some wonderful interviews. Be sure to check those out. And then, of course, on Thursday, Community Stories Junior, where Melissa takes a little bit more focus on the kids and our education system and some of that. And it does feature a great short story with Kevin the Cat. So be sure to check those out. Melissa's working her tail off on this show and doing an incredible work. When I want to mention our WFHR newsletter as well. I'm so proud of these things that are being done by our team. And I talk about them as deep as I can, because I understand you guys out there don't know what's going on behind the curtain oftentimes. Let me tell you, I've got the hardest working team in radio. Whether it is Melissa or Seth or a Pam or Laura or Chuck or Ashley or any of the people, any of the team that we have around here, everybody is working their tails off, wearing multiple hats and spinning plates to bring you local radio, real local radio. The newsletter we're doing, Michael is adding a lot of to our sports game here, Randy and the work that he does. We don't have a big team, but we get the hardest working team in radio, and I will put that up against anybody.
That's right. Small but mighty.
I'm very proud of this work, and you can check some of that work at Community Stories today from 5 to 6, and then again on Thursday from 5 to 6, and sign up for the newsletter, everybody. Got a new edition coming this week, and unlike some things in life, you don't have to have read every other newsletter to get this one. So, you know, it's a bad joke. Sign up for the newsletter at WFHR.com. It just pops right up for you if you have not signed up already. It takes just a second or two. Sign up for it and write in your email box. Every week you'll be getting local news, local information. And as a side note, I think that, this has been important for a long time. What has happened recently with WAOW and Channel 9, it brings it home all the more. I think that there is still some great reporting being done locally by, like, the Wisconsin Rapids Tribune and Wisconsin Rapids City Times and everything, but I don't have to tell anybody out there that stuff is not as local as it used to be, some of it, and some of it is not as consistent as it used to be. Every week, we are kicking this newsletter out. Every week, our team is working their tails off to get you local information and to cover local issues. So I can't think of anything more local and more ways to support local than signing up for this newsletter and, of course, checking out our station here and our programs.
And it just drops right in your inbox, right? I mean, it's just right there waiting for you.
Yeah, you don't have to work too hard for that one. As long as I brought it up, I did want to take a moment to tip my hat to Melissa Langben and the legendary, wonderful career that she had. I don't know if it was a forced retirement. Sure, felt like it. Felt like it was a bit unclassy, but I also understand this is a business and how things work. Regardless of all of that, Melissa Langben has treated me and this station very well in her career. During the pandemic, couldn't have been nicer to me, and she didn't know me from Adam, but was very kind with information to me, and just a really, like, kind soul. What you see is what you get, from what I could tell. If you liked her work on air, you'd have liked her off air.
Yeah, and a great, great long career here in Central Wisconsin. Yeah. It's awesome.
Hope she enjoys retirement. They did do a nice send off to her, I thought. It was a nice interview with her, and she seemed really, like, I don't know if I've ever seen her more relaxed. So that's cool to see.
Yeah, right? She's earned, like, that. She's okay, earned that. I'll take it.
Sign up for the WFHR newsletter at WFHR.com, everybody. And get your tickets for White Christmas. They got 3 more shows coming up this week. They'll be back on the 12th, 13th, and 14th. The 12th and 13th, 7 o'clock shows, wrap up with a matinee this Saturday at 2 o'clock. Get your tickets for Irving Berlin's White Christmas at WRCTheater.org. WRCTheater.org. Buy local, support local, support the arts. Terry and I'll be back with more fun in just a moment, right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone.
Well, Welcome back, everybody.
Did you catch me singing?
Morning show.
Don't do that.
I love it. It's a good one, I think. I like that one. Welcome back to the show. Terry and James hanging out with you. Got a fun subject to get into in just a moment. First, let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show. Oh, they hung up. Well, feel free to call back, 715-424-2600. Looking forward to hanging out with you. Call up anytime, everybody. Phone lines are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Rover.com released its annual list of the most popular dog and cat names. Let's dive into this one. I don't see Sammy at the top. Sammy the Muppet Dog. That is Sam's full name. The Muppet Dog.
What about
Dog.
Rex?
Oh, that's a good name,
I have
name
a T-Rex
too.
At home.
That's a good one. So everyone naming their dogs. Everyone apparently is naming their dogs Charlie, Max, Luna, and Bella.
Oh, we had a Max.
And they're naming their cats Luna, Milo, Oliver, and Lily. The most interesting part actually to me of this is that we seem to be naming our pets more normal names than our kids.
You know, I just was reading something not that long ago about that, in that if you have a name that you really like, and maybe as a couple you're going to have a pet first, you know, before you start having kids, don't use your favorite human name on your pet, because then, you know, like you just said Lily for a cat, but if you really love the name Lily, save it in case you have a daughter. Don't name your cat Lily, because then you cannot name your daughter Lily if you have a cat Lily.
No, I 100%, you're right. The more interesting parts of the report are the unique names people are choosing, and in 2024, names inspired by foods and celebrities are big. For cats, a lot of provolone. Naming a lot of cats provolone. That is up 509% from last year.
I don't know why, but I think that's cute.
And I like it.
Yeah.
Also names for cats, casserole, burrito, dumpling, port, like the wine, Taylor Swift, and Styles. Puns like Minnie Meows and Leonardo DiCap Meow are also popular. For the dogs, Calzone is up 211%. I kind of like that. Other trading names, pastrami, cauliflower, sardine, Kelsey. From the Kelsey support.
Sardine, that's not very nice.
Plankton, and like some names from the SpongeBob movies or TV show for some reason. I'm not sure why that became popular. The reports are very compressive and include pet names supposedly inspired by sports, TV shows, music, politics, puns, and even the Olympics.
So I have to tell you, this reminded me of, I don't know why, but I was reading an obituary recently, and now I can't remember what the name was. But anyway, but this lady, it said how she, you know, had all these cats over the years, all affectionately named blah, whatever, let's say Joe. But every cat she ever had, she had the same name for, and even when she had multiple cats at once. Isn't that funny?
That's interesting.
It's kind of smart, actually.
It worked for George Foreman. George Foreman has worked for
you
George Foreman.
You should not do that with kids.
Can't do it with kids. Can't do that, George. Can't do that. That's wrong. That ain't right. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning. I just have to chime in on the pet, because I run a pet sitting service, and it's so fun to see what people name their pets. And I have had a client that named all of their cats the same name, Charlie.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you save money on like, you know, the food dish and things like that, I suppose. Do you, not to put you on the spot, but do you have a name that stands out over the years or whatever that you've heard?
You know, one of my most fun things, I was out walking a dog, and his name was Nelson, and we came across another guy walking his dog, and his dog was Willie, and we're like,
That's perfect.
Oh, that's
that
sweet.
That is perfect. Oh, that is great. Yeah. Oh, thank you. And appreciate the work that you do. We don't get to shout out our people in that industry very often. I admire the work, and our furry friends, thank you very much.
Oh, I love doing it. I've been doing it for almost 30 years. So.
Right on.
Have a great day.
Merry
too.
Christmas.
Thank you for the call. Hey, that was great. That was awesome. That story is going to be in my head all day.
I love it.
That's a great story. The remainder.
You're kind of like romancing these dogs as you're walking towards each other. You're like,
absolutely.
Oh, karma, kismet.
So we gave you the top five: Charlie, Max, Milo, Cooper, and Buddy for dogs. Teddy, Rocky, Bear, Leo, and Duke round out the top 10 for male dog names. For female dog names, at 10, Bailey, Coco, Sadie, Zoe, Lola, Lily, Lucy, Daisy, Bella, and Luna at number 1.
Cute.
They're all great names. And I really think it's a great point about, you know, if you have a name that you really love, you don't use it on the pet. I had forgotten about this until you said it, and I wanted to finish the article. But my youngest daughter, Isabel, I love that name. And my ex, Mandy, her Izzy's mom, is just a pet, just loves pets. And Mandy listens every once in a while. And she's listening, I'm not saying nothing. I haven't told her 100 times. We had a zoo. We had a small apartment and a zoo inside that small apartment. And with all those animals, I would not let Isabel be used.
You just can't. Now, there is something to be said, though, for the lady who has a bajillion cats named Charlie. Now, can't you just see, like, the little grandkid comes over? Yes. Grandma, what's this kitty's name? Oh, Charlie. What's this kitty's name? Charlie.
I love it.
Then she has a new one. Oh, that's also Charlie.
Especially if you get a name you like, why not?
I think it's fabulous.
I have a feeling they're not going to mind. I don't imagine that the pet is going to be like, "Oh, I'm not answering that. I'm not answering that."
I think it'd be harder to do with dogs, multiple dogs at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't know. Maybe they don't. I feel like they kind of get to know their name, right?
Mm, yeah, yeah. Let's take another call before we go to break. Good morning. You're on the show.
Okay, I'll make it quick.
I was wondering where you've been.
Well, you know, I was going to call back when you guys were talking about the candy canes, but I was going to let that one go.
You knew there'd be something better?
Yeah, and this is better. Mm. So back, I'm trying to think of it. Over 30 years ago, not longer, back when the Greyhound tracks were running in Winnipeg, Wisconsin, and they had the one in the Dells, I adopted a Greyhound from the track.
Who are you?
And the racing name was called E.C. Bullet.
Ooh.
So obviously we kept the name Bullet.
Yeah.
When we adopted it, but I had to find, you know, basically take it because my mom's first two initials are EC.
Oh wow! Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome.
He was very deep.
And he was actually a shy dog.
Yeah.
He was, you know, but he was one of the best pets I've ever had.
Kev, I did something similar in Illinois. They used to have a track near Arlington Heights, and when that started to close down, they had tons of greyhounds, and I ended up just fostering one. Didn't get a chance to adopt it because I was in a small apartment at the time, but I did foster one, and one of the sweetest, awesome animals I've ever met, but so shy. You're right. I think a lot of people might think that because they're in the public eye or they're doing these racing or whatever, that for some reason maybe they might be a little more social, but so many of those poor greyhounds were, I don't know, every facility ran things differently. I'll tell you, the one down there didn't treat them that great. And these dogs oftentimes were, you know, reserved and hadn't had a lot of experiences with human beings. So to be able to bring them into a home and give them a safe place is the least we could do as far as I think as a society. And to Kev's point, man, you're not going to have many kinder things in life that you're going to run into than some of these animals. This is wonderful.
Yeah, and there was a couple other dogs there. One was a licker. I mean, he was very friendly, I'm not I don't mind getting a kiss from a dog once in a while, but he was always licking. I mean, he licked your hands, you know, just like, that was too much for me. And then there was a couple that were, like, fresh off the track that were way too...
High strung?
And they were young, and so they weren't very... I mean, some of them weren't, you know, and I think they retire them early sometimes if they don't obviously make enough money with them or they don't run very well.
Yeah.
And some of them were kind of young, but man, I mean, the one that I got, and then the vet told me they've never seen a greyhound live that long. He was 13 when we had him.
Wow.
And Bullet is an awesome name.
It's a great name. Also, one of the better movies you'll see. The greatest car chase scene, of all time is still in Bullet. Still. Steve McQueen and Bullet.
But the other dog name now that we also had, and I think I've talked about this before, we had a yellow lab. My oldest son was young, and at that time, Jungle Book was popular. He loved Jungle Book, and we had to call it Bagheera.
Nice. Great name. That's awesome. Kev, appreciate you, man. Safe travels out there.
All right, you guys. Have a great day.
Hey,
you
get the too. Rest of my packages to my house.
That's not my area. Sorry.
Right. Oh, okay. Thanks, Kev.
Thank you, Kev. Appreciate your best listeners in radio. Appreciate every one of you. And appreciate our Southwick County Humane Society. As we're talking about animals, I cannot help but bring that up and send a shout out to our friends over there. They'll be joining us this Thursday with our Pet of the Week. Imagine if your community did not have a Humane Society. What would happen with these animals? You know?
Yeah.
Seems pretty daunting. Seems pretty crazy to think of. One thing that needs to be said about this subject that I have not heard anybody mention yet, we created this problem, human beings. It's not as if animals did this. Like, we did this.
Well, the rabbits, they do it.
Yeah, that whole other story. Good point. It's awesome. That's awesome. Well done by you. But we made this issue. What are we telling young people if, hey, here's a problem we created as a society, and we're just going to pass the buck?
Yeah.
What does that teach young people? This is part of our job as a society, as a community, to take care of issues that we have created. And there's a lot worse ones out there. I mean, this is a one that the community actually benefits from and can actually make a good income from and economically and everything, let alone all the good that these animals do and this nonprofit does in our community.
And Bullet is a great name.
Man, I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about that.
I don't know why. I would have never thought of that. And now I'm like, dog. I like that.
Especially a greyhound. That's a great name for a greyhound. We will take a time out, get to our news break, come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Gotta play this one, Terry. Gotta.
Can we just... We only have 20 minutes left. Can we just keep playing?
Just keep playing this.
We can go down the line.
Yeah. There are...
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Oh, darn.
Everybody knows.
That's my favorite part. The way he says this, it just rolls off the... Is there a more comforting voice than Nat King Cole? I don't know if there's a more comforting voice.
I'm kind of mad that I'm listening to it and I'm not seeing snow.
We're going to have it. We'll get it, all right. It does look like we're going to get a lot more. We've already, it feels like, gotten more than we did last year. It already feels like it.
Yeah, maybe so. I do love that, though. Mm. That as soon as that song starts, soothing.
If I could hear only one Christmas song. Now, my favorite Christmas song is actually there it is.
Yeah, I like this too. Now you gotta let it play.
It's very easily my favorite.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Well, and you can't even not, like, both of us are like bones in our seat.
Can't
like
help
you,
it.
If,
can't
if
help
you are sitting still right now.
Yeah. It'd be good
Scrooge.
I think, though, if you got to say the quintessential Christmas song, the Christmas song by Nat King Cole is a good option. It's right up there at the top.
See,
of the
and
list.
I do really enjoy the Holly Jolly Christmas by Burl Ives that you played before. I really like that. And then, of course, White Christmas. But
yeah. Andy Williams. There's a couple that you can't go wrong. There's no wrong answer. Apparently, there is some wrong answers, though, when people are answering surveys. It's probably an exaggeration to say that everyone on the roads is a difficult driver or whatever, but the odds are pretty high up there. In a new poll, people were asked about the average driving ability of people in their state. And believe it or not, 9% of people said that, on average, their state has excellent drivers. And 9% actually might be kind of high for some people. But 12% say the average driver is poor, and another 5% rate the average driver as terrible. And what's interesting to me about this list is they're asking people about in-state, when we all know the worst drivers we all know are the people
are in
the
Illinois.
Next state. In the next state. Well, people in Illinois say that about Wisconsin, so so how did people grade themselves? Just 3% of people admitted that they are a subpar driver. Specifically, 2% said that they are poor, and another 1% said that they are terrible. So they seem to be a little bit... They weren't really fair about them judging themselves, but seemed like there was a little bit of that. On the flip side, 47% believe they are excellent drivers, and another 26% said that they're good, and 7% think they're fair. So a whopping 90% of people insist they are not the jerks on the road, even though they are saying that everybody on the road is a jerk. This speaks to so much of what it is to be a driver. And the idea of literally being in a bubble and you are in that car and you yourself think that you are the greater driver on the road, whereas the person in the car next to you is thinking the same exact thing.
Except I am.
That's the only difference.
You know what makes me nuts is, and this will happen to you 5 times today. You will be driving home the long way to look at lights, you already said.
Yes.
And you will look at a stoplight or whatever at the car next to you, and the person is on their phone. Not talking on their phone, like texting or searching or, you know, like looking down using their phone. That makes me insane. If you do that, you are in the poor driver category. Yes. No matter how you rate yourself, you are not. That just drives me crazy.
100%. 100%. Crazy. Here's the thing, because, I mean, I've been doing this show for 8-9 years, and we've talked about driving a lot on this show. And one of the things that just stands out to me all the time is we all have the same list of complaints. We all have the same list, and it doesn't matter who is sitting in that chair with me. They have the same complaints usually. So if we all agree that these are the bad things, let's stop doing them.
Yeah, it's terrible. But seriously, you see it. You don't see it once in a while. You see it all the time.
All the time.
It's terrible.
And even though no one ever boasts about how great the drivers were on their commute, 31% of people say that the drivers in their state are probably better than those in other states, of course. And 41% say they're probably the same. Oh, that's interesting. And only 16% think that they are experiencing worse driving than what's happening in other states. I don't know. I
think it's everywhere.
I think it's everywhere, and I think that tells us that, one, we all have this in common. So, hey, kumbaya, we all have this in common. That's great. And let's get better. Let's pay attention to what's
going on around you.
Yeah, yeah. Driving is not a birthright.
Drive safe.
Please do, especially.
Use your signal. Use your blinkers.
Yes, yes.
If you're out of blinker fluid, fill it up. It's a joke. There's no fluid, people. Just use it.
Somebody checked. Somebody out there checked.
And turn your lights on.
Please. Please. Treat people like we talk about this as in life a lot. Treat people with kindness and stuff like that. Why don't we do it on the road?
Like you always notice that merging, right? Like, you know, it should go every other car.
Yeah.
Right. And then you see like that one that's like, I'm not letting anybody in.
It really is everywhere. I mentioned it before when I was living out in California. I could not get over how mellow so many people that I ran into were. It was a very laid back state for the most part. Even some intense people in intense jobs. I worked with doing a TV show where I was playing an attorney. So I spent a lot of time at the courthouse and all around a lot of intense situations. And even then they were pretty laid back until they got on the road. And when you have 10 lane highways and everything, that's where all the aggression came out. And just, if we all do this, if we all know this, then we can all fix it and make it better.
When you said, when I was in California, everyone was laid back, I'm like, what?
Yeah,
on the road. Yes, not on the road.
Not on the road. But it just means, I think that this is something we have in common, actually, and can mean we can all be better. And for me, if I'm answering, I do think I'm a good driver, but I think I can be better. So if I'm answering that survey, I'm answering it honestly like that. And I think that that's something you can take from it, too. Yeah, it's anonymous, but yeah, I know. And that's going to stick with me. And don't be eating this pizza when you're driving. Pizza Hut just dropped.
Airport time.
There you go. Oh, there's the perfect time. In an airport, there is no time.
Airport time.
The only time is the time you got to be on your flight.
Airport rules.
There are such different rules. Pizza Hut just dropped its own pizza-flavored wine made with tomatoes instead of grapes.
What?
They say it, quote, captures the essence of your favorite slice in every sip.
Oh, so it's a Bloody Mary.
Wine. Yeah, yeah. It's red, and it's called tomato wine. Wow, they really went creative with that one.
Really?
They partnered on it with a winery in Kansas because, when you think of great wine, you think of Kansas. I mean,
I thought when you think of tomatoes, you think of Kansas.
Right, right. I don't know what the connection there is.
I just think of Toto.
They're selling 300, I think of the Jayhawks. I'm a sports guy, though, so I think. They're selling 375 milliliter half bottles at IrvineWinery.com for $25. So if you need a elephant gift, I suppose, or something like that.
Okay, that just sounds gross.
And you have to buy two. You can't just buy one. Oh, that's cheap. That's, I don't know about that. That bothers me for some reason.
If you're buying it,
I guess.
I mean,
but there's also a $60 gift box version. Okay.
So. You know what's funny is I like, if I'm just thinking of tomato, not a Bloody Mary, but like I liked VA juice. I've always liked VA juice. Mm. I enjoy that. But there's something about it being served in like a wine glass that's weird to me.
Yeah, yeah. Like most Italians out there, half of my blood is marinara. So, I mean, I don't want to talk badly about this or anything, but it's not really my, no.
So is it like a margarita, you know, where you like dip the rim of the glass in salt or sugar? This is like dipped in oregano?
Oh, wow. Oh, no. Oh, that ain't right. Right story for you, everybody. Didn't know
garlic,
it, but we
garlic
knew.
Salt.
Oh,
it's a great first date drink.
Look, I understand.
Getting you ready for your wedding next December.
There are certain things I don't feel like we really need to reinvent. I don't know that we need to do wine that differently.
It's
I feel odd. Like been doing it a long time this way.
Okay, worse maybe though. Now I'm analyzing this, but would it be worse to have a grape wine that's flavored as tomato? Versus just making it out of tomato?
No, I think making it out of it would still be worse, but that one you said first is definitely
really
not selling.
Gross.
That is that is going to get some dust on it. That is staying there on the aisle. Yeah. I love the fact, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, the name I was making fun of, but I think they had to go with that name just to cover their bases. They're like, okay, just in case anybody gets this and doesn't know what it is, we're going to make it very blunt. Tomato wine. Like, you couldn't get more blunt than that. I don't know about that one. That, yeah, I didn't plan on it, but it looks like that ain't right story. We will come back, though, with good stories of the day. We'll also get into some local things going on and get an update from our United Way, all coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I agree.
We are back, Terry and I, here to take you to the top of the hour and wrap up the show. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Got some good stories of the day we'll touch on, but I want to get into our schedule and touch on some great local events going on real quick. First up, of course, we want to remind you that our statewide Civic Media Grown Up Gift List contest is going on. It's the Text to Win contest, where if you have the Civic Media app, you got it? Good. Go ahead and get ready to text us that keyword at the top of, for today at the top of the 11 a.m. hour and then the 1 and 4 o'clock p.m. hours. And then every day from now until the 20th, we are going to be doing this at the top of the 7 and 11 a.m. hours and the 1 and 4 o'clock hours. You have a chance to hourly win $100 cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resorts in the Dells. And 8 lucky people are going to win our grown-up gift list, where you're going to get a chance to get a pick from a robot vacuum or humidifier, espresso machine, snowblower, luggage set, all kinds of cool stuff available for you. Thank you for downloading the app, everybody. And a big shout-out to Civic Media doing prize gifts right.
Yeah, super fun.
No QR code, no jumping through a billion hoops. Just use the app you already got and text us this keyword. I'll be listening for that. Jane and Greg will have that for you at 11 today and then at 1 and 4 o'clock a little bit later today. And speaking of later today, we got a great one lined up for you with Midday Magazine. Be sure to join us for that in part one. Lacey Ayling will join us from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Looking forward to talking with her. And then in part two, it's Realty Radio with David Farnborough. We're going to be talking with him a little bit about some of the local real estate industry and how that's going. And after that, of course, you've got Community Stories with Melissa Kay. Be sure to join us from 5 to 6 every Tuesday and Thursday for that. Mel's got a great one lined up for you today. I got to hear a little of it. It's a good one. Ooh. You're going to like this one, everybody. It's good. And of course, a little bit later today, it's a ball night, Terry, right here on WFHR at 7 o'clock. Big Ten action. The Badgers taking on the Illini. That is always a great one. They're in Champaign for that game. And then over on our sister station, 105.5 WI 7:05 pregame kicks off for Assumption Girls hosting Auburndale. Randy and Don on the call for that one. Randy's first game of the year. Randy was on the air with us for Playmakers yesterday, previewing a little bit of the game. And just real quick, got to say, this Assumption Girls team, we've been spoiled. We've had a lot of great teams. This one's different. This one's different, man. They've got depth and experience on this roster. I feel like I'd love to talk to Coach about it a little bit more, but it seems like more than in years past, and that's saying something.
Yeah, that's
this is
awesome.
A fun team. Be sure to check it out on 105.5 today at 7:05. Randy and Don on the call for that one. It's going to be good. Well, we're going to be getting a lot of great local coverage for you throughout the season. Be sure to check that out. And join us at Rams tonight. The 7th and 8th graders have a band concert going on at 6 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Middle School. Not only a great auditorium, the acoustics in there are awesome, but you're going to be able to check a great show. It's going to be a good one. Be sure to check out the Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School's holiday concert going on today over at Rams at 6 o'clock. Buy a local, support local. That includes supporting the arts, everybody, and supporting these kids in our local schools. And speaking of supporting locals and nonprofits, our friends at NAMI have their night of fundraising going at the Rose House in Stevens Point tonight from 6:30 to 8:30. Join them for their festive evening of live music with the Rosewood Trio, food, fundraising to support NAMI and the great work that they are doing. Be a part of this one if you can, everybody. The Rose House in Stevens Point, a gift of hope, a NAMI night of fundraising going on tonight from 6:30 to 8:30. And Terry, wanted to just check in with the United Way again before we wrapped up the show, because it is campaign season, it is go time, and we of course encourage you to benefit and help your community by helping the United Way.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on right now. I'm currently in our fall fundraising campaign mode. I'm still trying to raise some dollars, about $80,000 yet, to be able to fulfill all of the funding commitments that we will start on January 1st. So one thing that's a little bit unique is we pre-allocate those dollars. You know, way back last May, we said, you know, hey, if we can raise the money, here's how much you're going to get, you know, thinking about local programs and also internal initiatives that we do. So we are now feverishly working to raise all of that money so that we can make sure that we are able to support those programs as such. Other ways that we are out in the community, out and about, is we are awarding sweepstakes prizes this week. So that is super fun. We have awarded 3 of the 5 so far. When I leave here in a few minutes, I'm going to do number 4.
That's
so
awesome.
That's exciting. So, you know, that's really awesome. And that's just, it's just a fun way to say thank you. You know, yes, just to 5 people that get the prize. But at the same time, you know, just the excitement that it generates in the community and the support of the campaign. So, you know, we want to thank all of our donors, and it's certainly those 5 sweepstakes sponsors that each gave us $1,000 to be able to do this out in the community. And then we're also, you know, really gearing up on next year, right? Like, we are getting things laid out. January 8th is our campaign thank you celebration. So if you, anyone and everyone who made a donation to the campaign for this year is invited to join us at Bullseye Golf Club on January 8th from 4:30 to 6:30. Start about 4:30. Brief program at 5. We'll have some hors d'oeuvres, you know, that's sponsored, just some appetizers and soda, cash bar. But the idea is to feature and showcase our donors. So if you, again, if you're a donor at any level, you are invited to join us for that event. And then, you know, really looking at what does funding allocations look like for 2026 already. So, you know, always trying to stay a step ahead and working on brand refresh. So we have a brand spanking new website as of yesterday. So I encourage you to take a look at that, uwswac.org. And while you're there, make a donation.
Yeah, check out the website, everybody. Be sure to follow them on social media and everything. And keep up to date on the great things that they're doing with their newsletter. Be sure to sign up for that newsletter. And while you're signing up for newsletter, sign up for us too.
I mean, you might as well.
Yeah, might as well. You might as well. Uwswac.org. Be sure to head on over there and find out all the great ways you can impact your community. Always got 2-on-1 as well. Keep that in mind. A couple in Philadelphia named Marjorie Fitman and Bernie Letman now officially hold the world record for the oldest couple to marry at 202 years of combined age. They got together a decade ago and got married in May. He'll be 101 in February, and she just turned 103.
They got married when they were 91 and 93.
I love it.
I love that.
The charity Building Homes for Heroes just gave away their 400th home. It went to a U.S. Army vet in Texas named Joshua Sager, who was severely injured while deployed back in 2015. He said to the local news station, he and his wife couldn't be happier and are more grateful for their new home that it's fully paid off. The founder of the charity launched it shortly after 9/11 and started out doing one home a year. Now they're doing an average of one home every 8 days.
Holy cow.
Wow. That's incredible. I knew about this organization.
Yeah, me too, but I didn't realize it was that much. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, great story.
Yeah, tip of the hat to them. Wanted to mention this one. Your kids will want a puppy when they see this. As a shelter in England shared a video of dogs reacting to being kissed, and it is amazing. Be sure to check it out, everybody, if you need a palate cleanser.
Love it.
An estate trooper in Illinois stopped refereeing a high school basketball game to save a woman from choking. He did the Heimlich, and she started breathing again. She spent the night in the hospital, but she's doing okay. He went right back to ref the game.
Sweet.
Right back to
all business.
And actually had to calm the audience down, like, okay, enough about me. Let's focus on the kids. Let's focus on it. That's our troopers out there, man. A big shout out to them. Safe travels to all of our state troopers in every state out there, regardless of if you have bad or good drivers in your state. we all know it's a neighboring state. All
I mean, it's not James.
It's not me. And a guy on a delayed flight stuck in Atlanta pulled out his saxophone to keep people entertained and did a bunch of Christmas songs like Jingle Bells and all that. Another one of those videos that is making the rounds. And if you need a palate cleanser and need something to smile about, I think that's a pretty good one. Go ahead and check that out. Do want to also remind everybody again, we got some great shows coming up for you in just a little bit. Matt and Air on Air. It's got right around the corner. Join Jane and Greg for that one. I'm doing a great job all month long. And they're going to make sure to give you a great coast and ease into your afternoon. Be sure to join them. They'll be on from 10 to noon coming up. Terry, great show today. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, it was super fun.
This is
for a Tuesday.
And it's your last show of the year, I believe, right?
It is.
So thank you so much for everything you have done, not only for the community, but putting up with me and hanging out with us on the air here. We're looking forward to hanging out again next year.
Sounds great.
Have a great New Year's and Christmas. And have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you later right here.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.